Good morning, everyone.
I am excited to share this morning with you guys. My name is Pastor Jason. I'm the pastor here for the Kid Venture Ministry here at Jericho Road Church, and it is a joy to start our new sermon series with you guys on work. Now, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be going through the sermon series on work, and today, and specifically, God's plan for your work. Now, to start off our sermon series, we're going to be going through this overarching contemporary question, and that is, why does our work matter to God, and how does God want us to work? Now, the answer for us this morning is that work matters because it's an important part of God's plan for us, and God desires for us to do our work well. Now, we're going to see the truth this morning in three separate movements. The first movement is that work is a part of God's plan. The second movement is that work is sacred. And that last movement is that God desires for us to work well in whatever we do because our work matters to God. Now, our first movement that I want to share with you guys this morning is that work is a part of God's plan for us. You see, since the beginning of creation, we've all been created in the image of man, or in the image of God. It tells us here in Genesis 1, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, over the livestock and all wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth, subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" Now, God himself is a worker. He worked to create the heavens and the earth, the land and the sea, all the animals and plants that live in it. He worked to create us. And when he created Adam and Eve, he entrusted them to work and to care for his creations. You see, from the very beginning of time, from the very beginnings of our creations, we were designed for work. To live a life of leisure is not what we were designed for. And I know that this is true because I've seen it in my own life. Now, recently, my parents, they decided to retire. And they were tired of the work that they were doing, and they decided it was time to hang it up and to call it a day. Now, I think for the first few months that they enjoyed the rest that they got from retiring. They were able to do the things that they wanted to do. They traveled to new places. They were able to reconnect with old friends. And the thing that I enjoyed the most is they were able to spend more time with their grandchildren. Now, after a few months, I think they started to get bored of their retirement, especially my dad. You see, according to my mom, as soon as he retired, he became even busier than when he was working. He would find time, and he would spend his time working on different projects around the house. And I can remember days when we would go over to their house, and I would see a room full of just Amazon boxes. They were filled with things that my dad was using to work on projects that he had. He felt the need to be productive with the time that he had. And believe it or not, this irked my mom so much that she actually unretired and decided to go back to her old job, right? You see, my parents in their retirement found that it was work to not work. That to live a life of leisure was difficult, that's not what they were designed for. And I think this goes to show us that work is something that we were all created for. And there are some of us that believe that maybe work is a result of the fall. It's something that God cursed us with as a punishment for our disobedience. But God never specifically states that we're cursed to work. But what he does say is that the work that we are charged with becomes more difficult. It tells us here in Genesis 3, "To Adam he said, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, to dust you will return.'" Now, it's because of the fall that our work became cursed. But it's not the work itself that was cursed, but it was the ways in which we worked. See, after the fall, the elements of work became painful. The elements of work became a toil. It became difficult. It became a struggle. Work became work. But we know, and I'm sure you've experienced this in your own lives, that not all work is painful. Not all work is a toil. Not all work is a struggle. Not all work is work. Now, this past weekend, we had our annual trunk or treat, and it was such a blessing to be a part of the event. And let's give a big round of applause for our volunteers. Without the work that they put in to set up their trunk, to make an activity, to bring snacks, we wouldn't have had a great event. It was probably the best event that we've had this year. I mean, aside from our VBS, it was the biggest event that we had for trunk or treat. Now, as our trunk or treat was going on last week, I was speaking to one of our parents, and they shared with me that their child was so excited to see what Susan Hagihara was going to do for their trunk. They were like, "I cannot wait to see what Susan Emo did for their trunk this year." And let me tell you, they were not disappointed. By far, it was the most popular trunk at our event. And I can safely say it was the highlight of Trunk or Treat. So if you guys want to come next year, you know, you guys have something to look forward to. Now, Susan took the time to think about what the kids would want to do, what would be fun for them, what they would enjoy. And again, I'm not sure how she did it, but I'm sure it was a lot of work to take those little gems, to put them inside of Easter eggs, to put them inside a big slab, to make sure that it dried, to make sure when they brought it that it didn't break, to bring the hammers and the eggs, and the goggles, and to give away these big prizes on top of all that. It was a lot of work. Susan and her family put in a lot of effort for their trunk. And I'm sure if I asked her, was it a lot of work, Susan? Yeah, it was a lot of work. But let me ask, did it feel like work when you were doing it? Yeah, I'm sure it did. I'm sure it did. But I'm sure she and all of us could agree that the work that she put in was something that she enjoyed, because the kids were enjoying. The kids were having a great time doing the activity that she had set up. It was a blessing to see both our kids and our parents as well, doing the activity that she had worked hard to set up. Now, I think this goes to show us that not all work is painful. Not all work is cursed. But it may be the elements of work that are hard. In our workplaces, we can sometimes clash with our coworkers. In our workplaces, the deadlines and the expectations of our job can be unrealistic and all-consuming. Sometimes the clients that we work with and that we work for are demanding and difficult and just a pain to work with. These are the things that make work painful, make it difficult, make it hard to work, that make work feel like work. Now, we can affirm that work in and of itself is not cursed, because believe it or not, we will work when we go to heaven. As a part of God's plan, God plans for us to work even when we're in heaven, even when we leave this earth. And we know that this is true because John gives us a clear description of what heaven looks like when we enter through the gates. Now, while heaven is a place where we're supposed to find rest, our rest is not from work in and of itself, but the rest is from the cursed work that God gave to Adam and Eve. Now, if we look here in Revelation 22, it tells us here, "No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city. His servants will serve and will work for him." You see, in heaven, it tells us that in heaven, the work that we do will not feel like work. The work that we do will be in service to God. The work that we do and are called to will be something that we're created and designed for. It'll be something that we will enjoy doing because we're doing it for God. It'll be something that we're created for. Now, I think this gives us a greater understanding of how your work is an important part of God's plan. So now that we know this, how should we view the work that we're currently doing? Because I think many Christians believe that the work of pastors or missionaries or evangelists is maybe of more importance to God than the work of educators or architects or business owners. And the second truth I want you guys to know this morning is that your work is sacred because it matters to God. Now, vocation and work are similar but different. A vocation is a calling or an occupation to an occupation or a divine call to God's service. And work is something that we all do in our vocations. Now, while we can't all be missionaries and pastors and evangelists, we are still called to do the work of ministry in whatever vocation we're called to. Now, for decades, I think the church has held this belief that there's a divide between the sacred and secular work. And for years, I think this false dichotomy has infected our minds into believing that the vocation of education or medicine or anything else is of lesser importance to God than the vocation of ministry. But the reality is, ministry and work are one and the same. Our vocations is where we do our ministry. You see, as a part of God's perfect plan, each one of us is placed in different areas, in different vocations, meaning all of our vocations and all of our work are equal before God, none higher and none lower. Now we realize, now that we know that all work is sacred and that all work is ministry, you come to realize that it's through your work, it's through your vocation that we can fulfill Jesus' command of loving others and loving God. It tells us here in Matthew, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments." You see, it's through our vocation that we can live out the command of loving others the way that Jesus commanded us to. Now, on average, there are about 85 awake hours during a five-day work week. And 40 of those hours are spent at our jobs, you know, give or take a few hours. And there are seasons where we spend more time with our coworkers than we do with our families. Now, I want you guys to really hear this and think about this. For many of your coworkers, for many of your employees, or your customers, or your clients, you may be the only Christian that they have a personal relationship with. And I believe God does this for a reason. I believe that it's through our work that he gives us the opportunity to show our coworkers, to show our employees, to show our customers the love that God has for them. Now, recently I've started working as a substitute teacher for a bunch of elementary schools, and I've subbed all the way from preschool, actually, all the way to sixth grade. And believe it or not, it's one of my favorite jobs. I mean, aside from this job here, I love this job here. Please keep me here. I want to stay here. But I feel like subbing is such a privilege to be able to go into a class, to be entrusted to teach these kids and to care for them. And it's great that I'm able to interact with so many different kids every day. Now, a few weeks ago, I was given a kindergarten assignment. And as soon as you come in, one of the first things that you look through is a subplan. Now, the subplan has what lessons you're going to do that day, gives you a schedule of what to look for, and then also gives you notes of students to look out for. So there are the helpful students, aka the good kids, and then there's the students that need a bit more attention and a bit more redirection, aka the bad kids. Now, for this class, there was one student in particular that needed a bit more attention than others. In fact, he had a separate behavior sheet just for him. And on the sheet, the teacher was supposed to fill out each day to log his behavior, to track his behavior, to give him reminders of, hey, these are the things that you're supposed to be doing. Now, on the sheet, there were things like, I used my inside voice. I kept my hands to myself. And this one gets me. I didn't spit on anyone today. Now, it could have been easy for me to single this kid out. It could have been easy for me to watch over him like a hawk, making sure that he's not as bad as the teacher say he was. And I think a lot of subs would have done that. They would have said, I'm keeping an eye on him, keep my tabs on him, making sure that he's not doing the things that he's not supposed to be doing. But as I was picking up the kids from their line and bringing them into the class, you know, I saw an opportunity to love this child in the way that God would love them, to love him the way that I would want my own child to be loved. And believe it or not, we ended up having a good day. He didn't spit on anybody. He didn't push anybody. He kept his hands to himself. He did his work. I gave him good marks on his behavior sheet, and I think he was really happy that he was able to accomplish something. And I think his parents were happy as well. Now, a week later, when I went back to sub at that school for a different class, that same student saw me as I was walking through the lunch area. And he came up to me, and he gave me a hug, and he said, "Oh, I missed you, Mr. Park." And that was such a heartfelt interaction that I would have never had the opportunity to do if I wasn't working as a sub. If I was just pastoring here 24/7, I would have never had that opportunity to maybe show God's love to a child that maybe he needed it. See, when you understand that the truth that your work is sacred to God, God will give you opportunities to show his love to people that might need it. Now that we know our vocations are important to God, our work is an important part of God's plan, that all of your work is sacred to God, the third truth I want you guys to know this morning is that you are called to do your work well because your work matters to God. Now, to work well is to find fulfillment in the things that God has given you responsibility for. The author, Arthur Brooks, a professor at the Harvard School of Business, has done a lot of research in the field of business and sociology. And his mission was to find what, in the economic realm, what makes people happy. Now, one interesting finding from his research was that the thing that makes people happy, or the thing that doesn't make people happy, is not a lot of money. Money does not make people happy. He observed that when people were given sudden, large amounts of wealth, that it would often lead to destructive consequences in their lives. What he had concluded about happiness, at least in the economic realm, was that happiness comes from what he called earned success. Now, earned success is having a responsibility and carrying out that responsibility well. It's when we've been given a job and we do that job well that we will find happiness. Now, I think God has given all of us a responsibility to work. He's given us a responsibility to share the good news. He's given us a responsibility to care for our families and our loved ones. And I think when we fulfill those responsibilities, God delights in them. And we can delight in God. And I think Ecclesiastes gives us a clear picture of what that looks like. This is what I observed to be good, that this is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the first few days of life God has given them. For this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possession and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift from God. They seldom reflect on their days of life because God keeps them occupied with gladness in their heart. Gladness of their heart. See, when we work faithfully in the things that we've been given responsibility for, it gives you and it gives me and it gives us a joy that can't be bought. Now, earned success might be the key to finding happiness in an economic realm. But I believe the concepts of this theory can also apply to our lives as well. Now, this year, my oldest daughter, Ellie, started kindergarten. And as you know, when you go into elementary school, you also start homework for the first time. As any parent, I think you want your child to succeed academically, right? You want them to do well. You want them to get the best grade that they possibly can. And I can remember the first few weeks of homework were rough. It was like trying to pull teeth getting her to do her homework and to do it well. I mean, as well as a kindergartner can do their homework, right? Now, at the beginning of the year, it was tough. She had just spent 6 hours at school with no nap because she wasn't napping anymore. She barely ate her lunch, which her mom woke up really early to make and was kind of upset about. And And she would keep making the same mistakes over and over on her homework, right? We would erase it and say, hey, you need to do it this way. But she would keep making the same mistakes over and over and again. But I can remember the first time that she did her homework on her own. That she did it by herself without any mistakes, without any do-overs, without any uh-ohs. Man, we were so proud of her. At least my wife was proud of her. I was really proud of her too. We were proud that she did the thing that she was responsible for and that she did it well. Now, I don't know if Ellie, if my daughter, I don't know if she found fulfillment in that and finishing her homework, but I did. My wife did. And I think that's how God feels when we fulfill the responsibilities that he's given us. Like a proud parent, he looks upon us with joy and delight. Now, to work well is also to serve the Lord in whatever job that you have. Now, there are jobs that require years of training, education, and experience. And this is what we would consider to be pretty important jobs. I want you guys to think of the Asian Trinity, right? Doctors, lawyers, and engineers. Without doctors, all of us would be sick all the time, right? Without lawyers, there'd be no justice served. And the most vulnerable people in our societies would go unprotected. Without engineers, modern society as we know it would not exist. Think about the alarm clock that woke you up, the car that you drove to get here, the lights, the cameras, even this microphone that I'm using was created and designed by engineers. These jobs are viewed with high regard due to the important work that they do. But to work well is to serve God in whatever job you've been given, because we are doing it for the Lord. Now, Colossians makes this very clear to us that in whatever we do, we should do it in service to God. And it tells us here, whatever you do, do it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is Lord Christ you are serving. Now, Paul was writing this passage to slaves, and he was encouraging them and exhorting them in their work. Now, a slave back then in the times of the Bible is a little bit different than our modern context. But the work that the slaves were given were toilsome and menial and almost like just busy work, right? There was no fulfilling aspect of their work. But in the passage, Paul was exhorting them and encouraging them, telling them in whatever they do it as service to God. And so they should do that work well. And I believe this gives us a great understanding of what it looks like to work in whatever job we have. See, God has placed us in different yet equally important roles as a part of his kingdom. And there is work that God has placed you in that only you can do. Now, I couldn't do the jobs of a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer. And I think it'd be silly for me to expect these doctors and lawyers and engineers to teach kids about Jesus. And for some of us, it might feel like the jobs that we have are not very important. Let's say you're a student or a caretaker or a stay-at-home parent or a custodian. We can sometimes look down upon these jobs because they might not be on the same level of importance as a doctor or a lawyer or engineer. But whatever we do and whatever job we have, God calls us to do that well in service to him. So if you're a student, then God calls you to study well as service to God. If you're a youth coach, then God calls you to coach well in service to God. If you're a stay-at-home parent, God calls you to just get them to survive the day in service to God. Now, I believe that what kind of work we do is not very important to God. But what I believe is important to God is how we do that work. And God desires for us that in whatever we do and whatever job we have, that we do it well as service to him. Now, as we conclude our time this morning, and as we hear these and as we've heard these truths about work and God's plan for that work, I wonder if this changes our perspective on work. I wonder if this changes how we view the ways in which we work. When we know that work is good, that it's a part of God's plan for our lives. My hope is that it gives you encouragement whenever those difficult things of work come up, knowing that that's what we've been created for. When we know that all work is sacred, that all work is ministry, my hope is that those acts of kindness and goodness and thankfulness in your workplaces are ways in which we can show others God's love. And when we know that God desires for us to do our work well, my hope is that if you're in a job that maybe you're not really fond of, that is difficult, that is something that maybe you feel like God's not calling you to, that you would do that work well in service to Him. Now, as we respond and reflect this morning, let's ask the Spirit to transform our views upon work so that our workplace is not just a place where we come to make money, a place where we provide for our families, but it's a place where God is, because your work matters to God.